realize it was so late. So we left off last week, and the last sif in Shin Chaf Ches that the Rishonim and Acharonim call Hitira Sof on Shem Trilosam, that if a person left his home on Shabbos to take care of someone else's suffix Sakana, so we permit him to come back, even though there's going to be Chilul Shabbos involved, because otherwise Hitira Sof on Shem Trilosam, otherwise he won't want to go in the first place. Why should he ruin his Shabbos for the other guy? So to encourage him to take care of the other person's suffix sakana, so we give him a break, we tell him he's allowed to come back. So that's only if it's someone else, if it's to save someone else's life, if it's to save my own life. You don't have to encourage me that I should go. Of course I'm going to go. Let's say it's my baby is sick. So of course I'm going to go. You don't have to encourage me. I'm a doctor. To encourage me to take care of someone else. But let's say if we have hours, this is my time in the hospital. So then you don't have to encourage me. If I'm not going to go, they're going to drop me from the hospital. That's a dover pashut. Then I mentioned last week, Yitirus Ovishim Trilosam, most of the poskim hold only applies to the Rabbanans, Rav Moshe allows even on their ISIS. Most hold it only applies to Dinim de Rabbanan. That was the last line of Shin Chav Tes. Yitirus Ovishim Trilosam. Okay. What?
Everybody also said that by a goy,
Right. The din is here. The Mishnah Brura, my edition, it's on page 339. So on the bottom of the Mishnah Brura, there's a line before the Sharatzion that was put in by the printer, I guess, that it says in the Gemara, Dina the Malchus Adina. What do you mean, Dina Malchus Adina? So therefore, you're obligated to be Michal Shabbos for a non-Jew. Dina Malchus Adina. Obviously, that's not applicable over here. Dina Machus Adina, the din of the government in New York is you're allowed to keep your shop open on Sunday. So you're allowed to keep your business open on Sunday because Dina Machus Adina. Dina Machus Adina only applies in Dini Mamanis. It doesn't apply to Issa Veheta. So Leitchik told the story. He was once traveling on a plane and he saw a Reform rabbi there, a prominent Reform rabbi. So he couldn't control himself. So he walked over before the plane took off and he asked, "How do you marry women without a get? This is scandalous. It's an Issa Lo Sinuf on the Saris Adibros and it's a Mamzerim and everything." So the Reform rabbi said, "Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. Don't you know that in the convention that we had, whatever, in 1921, we decided that you don't need a get?" So what do you mean? How can you make a convention against Halacha? So he said, "Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised. You don't know the Talmudic dictum, Adina the Malchus Adina. When they go to the court and the judge gives them a divorce, so we follow Dina and Machusa." Rabbi Soloveitchik said, "So why are you Masada Kiddushin? Why don't you just let him go to the justice of the peace and get married?" So he said, "Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. Dina and Machusa Dina only applies to laws, it doesn't apply to mitzvahs. When you get married, you recite a bracha. So that's a mitzvah. So Dina Machusa doesn't apply to mitzvahs. By giving a get, you don't say a bracha. So that's a din. So Dina, will you follow Dina Machusa Dina?" So the distinction that the Reform rabbi said is half true. That's the problem. Every sheker has a mikzas emes, otherwise it wouldn't have any kiyum. Rashi writes by the Meraglim. You have to have a mikzas emes there. Dina Machus Adina only applies to Dina Mominus. It doesn't apply to Issa Veheta. Being Mechal Shabbos is Issa Veheta. Being Mechal Shabbos for Anochri is Issa Veheta. Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply. But the Gedolim in Europe said that even though Midina Gemara because Nebush of a Nachri is not Dechel Shabbos, we have no choice. If he won't be Mechal Shabbos for the Nachri, they'll make a pogrom. So we won't be able to survive. So it's our suffix Sakana. So let's say the doctor went in the middle of Shabbos in order to save the life of a Nachri. So he's really going to save his own life. So then you don't have to encourage him to do that. So that's what the Chassam Sefer says. In such a case, we wouldn't permit Yitiru Sofa Mishum Trilos. When I'm going to be encouraged on my own because it's my life that I'm going to save. Yeah. Bikoach nefesh, strictly speaking, bikoach nefesh of a nochri is not the Shabbos. That's on page 340 in the Mechabes Shin Lamed, the simon about your letters at Siv Beis. Simon Shin Lamed Siv Beis. Kus is emi aldam osa b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for nochris. Kusis. Then the Bir Alocha writes, "Well, Adin Yishmaelis, Anochri. Now that it be Machal Shabbos, what about a Ger Toishav? Gedoshim is a non-Jew who accepted in the presence of three Jews to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs bin Enoch, but he's not Jewish. So the Gemara has a Loshim, Gedoshim. The Gemara says, Mesochim in the second part. Gedoshim is a mitzvah lahachayoso. What does it mean, mitzvah lahachayoso? Mitzvah to give him a parnasa. Mitzvah to give him a parnasa. So the Mishnah Berurah uses that Loshim, that it's a mitzvah lahachayoso, but you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of a Gedoshim. There's a Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs where he has a little bit about a Gartoshim, so he quotes that Losh on the Gemara, Mitzvah Lachios. So there are those who interpreted the Ramban that he meant it's a mitzvah to be Mechal Shabbos to save the Gartoshim because Mitzvah Lachios. The Mishnah Berurah uses the exact same Loshon as the Ramban, and it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah that he thinks you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos where Gartoshim. He says, Gartoshim, the Yaldam Mosam, Pnei Shonam Tzuvim Lachios, Davke Bedorim Sheinim Chil Shabbos. Not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos with the Gertoshim. He quotes the Prima Godim, who's Mistapik. Maybe if the whole Chil Shabbos only going to be a Derabbanon, so maybe they will never go there to, against not to do Anisa Derabbanon if it's for the Pekuach Nabash of the Gertoshim. A Sofik in the Prima Godim. But otherwise not. What if a person is an Apikoris? What if a person is not at all observant? Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life? I mentioned the story about Rav Zalvala, I think last week. No, he ran out in the middle of davening because the university student was in an accident. The university student, that's the way Rav Sheps was telling it over. The university student meant that he's not observant at all, not going to be religious at all. Rav Soloveitchik has a drosha that they printed a few years ago in the book Abraham's Journey. He has the collection of droshas about Avraham Avinu, about the Yavis. So he writes on today's Sedra, what's the moral of the story? Why does the Chumash write the story about the war with the four kings against the five kings? The Chumash doesn't just give us a biography of Avraham Avinu unless it's relevant to Lidurus for the Bnei Yisrael. So what's the significance of the whole story? So he gives up five lessons that you can learn. So one of the lessons is, who was this Lot? It says, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. Lot left Avraham Avinu, and Rashi quotes him in Medrash, he was Nasa Mikadmonu Shalolam. He gave up the whole religion. He didn't want to Matzah Sofa by Yecheli, he still made a Seder. He says he still made a Seder, he ate matzah. You have many Jews in America, they're not observant. Some of them are intermarried, but they'll have Matzah Sofa Yecheli. Pesach night, they'll eat matzah and chametz, okay, whatever. They'll eat matzah on Pesach night. But he wasn't at all religious. And still, Avraham Avinu went to battle in order to save. It's like when you go to war, by definition, it's always a suffix akana. Avraham Avinu could have gotten killed, and still, as Rav Soloveitchik said, still that's the halacha, that you have to be Mechal Shabbos, you have to put yourself into sakana to save the life of a Jew. The Gemara has a din that Abba b'machteres, the Pasuk says, Abba b'machteres, b'machteres imotzi akana v'huka v'mei sein lo damim, you're allowed to kill him, you have a right to kill him. So the Gemara says, Abba b'machteres is considered like a gabra ktilam. Just like if a person killed someone, or someone was Mechal Shabbos, and Bezna made a Gmar Din Lamisa, so we consider that person a Gabra Ktila. Here also, by a Boba Machteris, we consider him a Gabra Ktila, and you're allowed to kill him. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya Boba Machteris, on the Afayim Beis, a Boba Machteris, and then the whole building collapses on him. He's digging a tunnel under the fellow's house in order to rob him, in order to steal all of his property. And then he didn't do a good job. And the life of the Boba Machteris is now b'sakana. So the Gemara says there's no din that pikuach nefesh. You're not mechuyif to save his life because he's a gabra ktila. You're not mechuyif to save his life. So that's the shaila that the Prima Godim raises. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Godim over here. What's a din, Bismanas that we don't have it, what's a din years ago when they used to have Bezdin would make a Gemara din, here's the Bir Alocha on page 339. The last few lines in the Bir Alocha. V'da od she'reisa b'prim godim. He writes, B'yamim hakadmonim, he writes in brackets. B'yamim hakadmonim, that there was such a thing as a Gemara din l'misa, so the person is Nigma din l'misa, he's a Gabra Ktila, so he should have the same status as a Boba Machteres, the Gemara says is a Gabra Ktila. So the Gemara says the Boba Machteres is a Gabra Ktila, so he's not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. So it should be the same thing over here. You shouldn't be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the person who was nigma dino lemisa, because it's also a gabrik tila. Gabrik tila, let's say a bezin makes a gmar din lemisa, the guy's going to be put to death. So he doesn't have to lick tefillin anymore. He doesn't have to, they give him a sandwich to eat before he dies, or they give him a Coca-Cola to drink. He doesn't say shakal anymore because he's a nace and he's potam in amitzvahs. No, but gabrik tila, mishenik madina lemisa, ravelvela salavichik has in his sefer on the Rambam, one essay, some of the essays are no chidushim, he just collects gemaras. So there's one essay, we just collect gemaras. Gabrik tila has only been geared to very few dinim. So one din is, a hargain and eragolav, if someone kills him, he's not chay misa. What else? Let's say if the gabrik tila is mezana with an eshesish, the eshesish is going to get misa. You don't say, well, she had tashmish with a dead person. It's not considered a dead person. And the guy's, the gabrik tila still has to say brachas, still has to daven, still has to put on tefillin and so on. Gabrik tila has only been to get to very few dinim, very, very restrict. So the Gemara says, one of the dinim is that you're not allowed to be machal Shabbos with the gabrik tila. Because the Gemara says it by the Boba Machteris, not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. There's one of the Gedolim in Europe 100 years ago wrote a Sefer Chelkas Yoyov. He was a Chassidish Rebbe. So in the end of the Chelkas Yoyov is the one who was the Bar Pluk that used to disagree with the Avnei Nezer. He was a bit of a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So the Chelkas Yoyov has at the end a Kuntris where he has 103 murderous kashas that no one can answer. He thinks nobody can answer. That's Kaba de Kashyaisa. Kuf Beis Aleph is the Gematria 103. Kaba de Kashyaisa. And the Gemara, Kaba de Kashyaisa. Kashyaisa means when you eat a peach and you're left with the pit, the big pit in the middle, that's called Kashyaisa. Kaba de Kashyaisa means a basket of pits. So he uses that Lashon. It's a Kaba de Kashyaisa. I have a Kaba is a Gematria 103. I have 103 kashas that nobody can give a teretz. Somebody in Eretz Yisrael recently put out a sefer. He collected all of the terutzim that were given. David Mendelbaum, he makes a likut of everything. He knows every Beis Yitzchak and every Kol Atzvi, everything that YU puts. He knows anything that anybody put out anywhere in the world, any time in the history of the world. He quotes all of Maisor, quotes everything from everybody. So he put out a whole sefer collecting all of the terutzim that were said on the 103 kashas. So one of the kashas that he has, a murderous kasha, everybody has their kasha. The Gemara says, the guy's a Baba Machteris. So what if the guy stops? A guy, someone is Baba Machteris, and then he decides he's not going to go through with it, and he walks away. No more Baba Machteris, and no more Nita Natsin, no one Nita Nahargi, not allowed to kill him. So if Nafla all of Mapolis, so he stopped being Baba Machteris. So why do you still declare him as a Gabrik Tila? The Gemara says, Baba Machteris, Nafla all of Mapolis, and not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. So we don't know. That's a good kash, we don't know. But our kapanim, we should learn from that Gemara, the Baba Machteris is a Gabrik Tila, so Mishin Nigmadina Lemisa is for sure a Gabrik Tila. So one is Nigmadina Lemisa, and his life is Besakana, that she says a Gabrik Tila, consider him as if he's a dead person, you shouldn't be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him. Comes to Prima Godim, and he says he doesn't think it's true. Why? Because Haruge Bezin, you don't give Mrs. Bezin on Shabbos. The Baba Machteris on Shabbos, you do kill him. Bob Machteris is considered a Reidif, so Reidif he killed even on Shabbos. He has the din of a Gabrik Tila on Shabbos also. But the Nigma Dina Lemisa, since the Bezin has to, where do you have a case? Funny case, they made a Gmar Din Lemisa on Friday, and then too late in the afternoon, so they're not going to give him the Einish Misa until Sunday. Not supposed to. You're not supposed to, yeah. So he's talking about a case that shouldn't have been. The Prima Kohen is talking about a case that Bez made a Gmar Din on Friday. They're not going to give him the Einish Misa till Sunday. So on Shabbos, the fellow's life is Besakana. So he says, since Bezin is not allowed to administer Misa's Bezin on Shabbos, so it's a Chai Yishor. And the din is that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos even for the purpose of Chai Yishor. The guy has a right to live until Sunday morning till they give him the Misa's Bezin. That's what the Prima Kohen says. So the Mishnah Berurah is not happy with the Prima Kohen. Mishnah Berurah says, but the whole idea of Pikuach Nefesh is the Rabbanu Shel Olam loves the life of every Yehudi, and it's so important, the life of every Yisrael is so important, he even permitted to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. But this guy did an Aveira, he was Baal Eish Yisish, he was Horigas HaNefesh, he was Mechal Shabbos. The Rabbanu Shel Olam does not want him to live. So how can you say, the Mishnah Berurah Tainis against the Prima Kohen, how can you say that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life? His Chai Nefesh doesn't count. Wow. The Pashtus is, I don't know. I don't know. The Gemara says that a gabra ktila is you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save his life. I don't know why the Bir Alocha had to give such a hold. Pashtus is not like the Pimagod, but not because of the reasoning that the Mishnah Berurah gave. The simple reason is because a gabra ktila is considered kemes with respect to four or five dinim. That's all the whole thing. Respect to a couple of dinim. So one of the dinim is that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save his life. Should have said it's a gabra ktila. He doesn't say that. He says, Hagan said to Rosh. The Baruch Shalom doesn't want him to live. So you can't say his bikoach nefesh is
there. Isn't there also a category of maridim lo malin or lo maridim lo malin?
Right, that's what he quotes. The roi behema dako gazlonim lo malim osam in abor. So this guy is loy gora from the roi behema dako. That's the last line of the Bir Alocha. He quotes a din of sometimes lo malim or lo maridim.
Why would that line not be chorus?
We say apikoros dina kakam, then he get to which dinim? Can I use him as my Shabbos goy? So no. Can I sell a chametz to him? No. Let's say he comes, I'm a barber, and he comes in, he wants me to shave his pace with a razor. Now, not to shave his, he's Jewish. So when he get to some dinim, we say, when he get to limited halachas, we say that is dina kakam. The mashal, there are certain kinyonim, a metaltalim, that are different by Yisrael and by Nochri. So which kinyonim does the mumer? Dinakak, which kinyanim does he have? So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. They're not sure. The Pashto says he has kinyanim like Yisrael, not like an Akum. Can he have a shliach? No shlichas lakum. Let's say the husband became a mishumid, he converted to Christianity, wants to give his wife a get, but he doesn't want to be there in person, he makes a shliach. Can he make a shliach? Big machlokes are Rishonim. Ain shlichas lakum, they say, mumma dinakak, they can't have shlichas. So the Pashto says that you don't say Mo Medina Kakum for all Dina HaTorah, just a small group of halachas. So we assume that Mo Medina Kakum doesn't apply for Pikoach Nefesh.
There's no Dina Meridim Lo Malin here or anything like
the question is if you, that's what the Chazon Ish says. The Bizman HaZeh there's no Din, for sure there's no Din of Meridim, there's no Din of Lo Malin, we don't have that. Chazon Ish says, if so many Jews are not observant, how can you say on the Rav of Klal Yisrael that the Maridin, alo malim? It looked like, will look like Mishugoyim. Maridim, or alo malim, is a bezdin, can be oiker dina hatorah lo hayro ashor le migda milsa. What do you mean, migda milsa? What are you going to accomplish? If you have the whole community as observant, there's one fellow who's a sheik, it's an apikiris, then sometimes there's a din, maridim, sometimes it's din lo malim, but by us, what do you mean? One fellow is a sheikitz and he's ruining the whole discipline of the community. Reiver the Jews are not shomrei mitzvahs. So you can't say on the Reiver the Jews, Marid or Aloy Malin.
Do we say they're dinner kachum for Yayin?
In Shulchan Aruch it says you do say. In Hilchas Tam Yainam, we say Machal Shabbos, Beferhesi dinner kachum, he asks the wine. Yeah. Not everybody agrees. Some say only one who actually worships Avodah Zarah. But the opinion that's accepted in the Shulchan Aruch is that whenever one is an apikoros, is dina kakum, you would say that he asks his wine.
Do we consider it like a non-observant person like an apikoros, or is there
different things? In the days of the Gemara, there was a din of Mechal Shabbos Beferhesi dina kakum. So that the Chazon Ish and many before the Chazon Ish, the Binyan Zion. The beginning of the reform movement, Chasam Sofer. So the Binyan Tzion writes, you can't say that there's a din mechal Shabbos by Farhesi. Bizman said there's so many Reform Jews. There are mechal Shabbos. That's not called Farhesi. Farhesi means he's breaking the discipline of the community. The rov of the Jews are not shomer Shabbos. So it's mechal Shabbos, but it's not called Farhesi. Mechal Shabbos Farhesi means he's bemezid. He knows what the din is, and he doesn't care. With chutzpah, he would even be mechal Shabbos in the presence of the chief rabbi. The Gemara in Erevin says, if the fellow is Mechal Shabbos in public, but when the rabbi walks by, or the Nasi, the chief rabbi walks by, he hides it. He's carrying something in his hand, and he hides it when the chief rabbi walks by. He's embarrassed, so that's not called Mechal Shabbos Beferhesia. So by us,
for everything, or just for Erev?
The Gemara says it for Erev, and many poskim assume that it applies also for Mechal Shabbos Dinah, Beferhesia Dinah Kakum. So that din, many of the poskim say the Chazon Ish says it wouldn't apply bizman as that. We have another klal. One is a mumma l'rov mitzvah satorah that he's aware of. There's 613 mitzvahs. Most of them don't apply bizman as that. Trumas and maisvahs, akrobas, akrobanas. We don't have all those. So from the mitzvahs that the person knows about, does he violate rov of those mitzvahs? Whatever he doesn't observe because he never heard of it, so you can't hold it against him. Whatever he did hear of, kashrus, many people did hear of. Shabbos, many people did hear of. So the question is he, if he violates rov of the dinim that he's aware of, that's also dina kakum. We singled that. Ovid avod zarah dina kakum, even if he keeps all the other mitzvahs. Machal Shabbos professed dina kakum, even if he keeps all the other mitzvahs. But one who violates rov dina Torah is also dina kakum. But there has to be, he knows about it. If it's b'shogeg, it doesn't count. Yeah.
There's probably a distinction to be made between someone who really understands, just like, no, I really don't care, I think this is silly. Someone who, like, grows up and, like, he knows they're from Jews, he knows, like, they keep Shabbos, he really has no understanding of what it means.
He thinks it's all minhagim, like we look at the Hasidim, we don't dress like them, with the knickerbockers and the fur hats. That's their minhagim.
Right.
So the non-observant Jews think that the whole religion is minhagim. A lot of them don't understand b'chlal that there's such a thing as a Torah min ha-shamayim. So everything that could well be by many people is b'shogeg. So that's not called the mum adin
ha-kakum. Rashi has a chavis yo'ad about someone who's ba'al mechaz and the ceiling falls on him. So he wanted to still be ba'al mechaz, so just that he started collapsing.
You know, but l'may say he stopped. For whatever reason, he stopped. They stopped him. So once he stopped, so he should not be considered a gabbik tila anymore. That's his kasha.
Did the rabbi himself find an answer for that question?
He probably said what you said. Since he didn't stop on his own, he was stopped. So probably that's the answer, but the kasha is still a good kasha. Everybody has that kasha when you learn the Gemara. It's an obvious kasha. Yeah.
He says the Mahfoudin fall on him while he's being Balamachter.
That's the case in the Gemara, yeah. Because he stopped once the ceiling collapses, so he stopped being Boba Machteris. Once he stopped, we stopped him because the building collapsed. Once he stops, he's no longer have a right to kill him. He's no longer a right to kill him, so why do you still call him a Gavri Ketila? That's the problem. Here in the Shulchan Aruch, at the top line on page 338, that's the Mishin Choftes, Siv Beis, so it says, they quote a Gemara, Ein Hochem Bipoch Nefesh Achar HaRoiv. You don't follow Roiv. And Tosis writes in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, how do you know you don't follow Roy? Because learn that from the Pasuk. What's the Pasuk of Tipkot Nebesh Deich HaShabbos, the final Pasuk? V'chai Bohem. The Gemara quoted different Psukim, then Tanoim quoted different Psukim, then one of the Amoran came up with the Pasuk of V'chai Bohem. Gemara says that's the best Pasuk. So Tosis says, the expression v'chai bohem is a connotation, even if it's only a miut. He's still b'chol oifen, you have to be m'chal Shabbos. So what do you mean a miut? Let's say he's deathly sick and there's a slim chance he may save his life. Or he's basically healthy, there's a slim chance he may be b'sakona. Doesn't matter whether it's a slight suffix whether he's b'sakona, or it's a slight suffix whether he'll be able to survive. Any slight chance. So that's called the suffix sakana. So that, and it has no limits. Let's say sometimes you read in the newspaper that the person died from an ingrown toenail, from blood poisoning. So whoever has an ingrown toenail on Shabbos is allowed to drive to the hospital on Shabbos because it's a suffix sakana. He may die. So the pashtus is, Chaim Moser has a tshuva about this, and he quotes many poskim and say this. The only time we say lehoch b'koch nefosh sachar haroiv is, let's say like that, what would be if it would be Monday morning or Tuesday morning, you have to go to work and he has an ingrown toenail? He would take off from work because he's nervous, or he would say no, he'll go see the doctor at night when he comes home from the office. So if he's nervous about it, if the patient is nervous about it, then it's called the suffix sakan, even though it's very far-fetched. But if the patient himself is not nervous, if it would have been a weekday, he wouldn't run to the hospital right away. And say he doesn't want to miss a day in the office. He doesn't want them to dock his pay. He'll go to the doctor after 6 o'clock in the evening. So then if he's not nervous about it, then it's not called a suffix sakan. So that's Alpi Pashtus. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he rejects this idea. He doesn't refer to Rav Chaim Moshe's tshuvas. He rarely refers to Rav Chaim Moshe's tshuvas. He doesn't refer to Rav Chaim Moser, he just in a tshuva about birth control. So he says, and to say that in a suffix sakana, depends whether he's nervous about it, so somehow he doesn't like that. I don't know why he doesn't like that. But that's all a classical poskim assume like that. I don't know. The Pashtus is, that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tilim, Shamer Psaim Hashem. Shamer Psaim Hashem means, if it's far-fetched, Safek Sakana, nowhere near 50-50. And the person is a pesi, he's a fool in the sense that he's not nervous about it. He should have been nervous about his life, but he's not nervous about it. Then Shamer Psaim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him, and it's not called the Safek Sakana. So that's how the Rabbi Chaim Ozer quotes several Achronim. He says that's the Pshat and the Din of Shem Epsayim Hashem. That was in the first Perek in Yevamos, be like that. Yeah. So that's the same situation for two different people. The same suffix Sakana. For the person who's nervous, it's considered a suffix Sakana. For the person who's not nervous, not considered suffix Sakana. Sometimes a guy's going to jump off of the Empire State Building and he's not nervous. He's a Meshugana. That's very close to 50-50. That'll get killed. Or much more than 50-50. So anyway, near 50-50, it's a suffix Sakana. So far away from 50-50, then we say it depends on whether the person himself is nervous or not. Yeah. The Chassam Sefer has a lotion. When you have a suffix echad mini elef alfi alofim, it's one chance in a million that there's a suffix sakana. So the Chassam Sefer says that's not called a suffix sakana. It means it has to be a suffix that people are nervous about. That's the pashtus like that. There's a tshuva in the Maharam Shik, who was a Talmud of the Chassam Sefer, where he writes not so. So it's a difficult tshuva. Maharam Shik is talking about they started a whole tumult during the lifetime of the Chassam Sefer, ever since, about mitzitza bepeh. Do you still need mitzitza? One issue, do you still need mitzitza? The whole purpose of mitzitza is to prevent infection, and now we have antibiotics. So they put on a medication to prevent infection. So question number one, maybe you don't need mitzitza at all. Question number two, if you need mitzitza, who says you have to do mitzitza bepeh? Well, he always did it. Maybe you don't need mitzitza bepeh. So the Stechemen has a long country, it's 40 pages long. So the first 20 pages he says he still needs mitzitza. In the second 20 pages he insists that it has to be mitzitza bepeh. Stechemen lived around 100 years ago. So the Maram Shik has a tshuva about this. So he says, the Gemara says that mitzitza is because of the suffix sakana, to prevent infection. So the doctors today say, we have everything under control, you don't have to worry about it. So the Maram Shik writes, all medical knowledge is based on experimentation. They have data. So they performed so many circumcisions in the hospitals. They performed, let's say, 20,000 circumcisions in the hospitals. They never did mitzitza by the non-Jews, and nobody died. So that's a clear-cut evidence that there's no suffix sakana today. You don't need mitzitza. When the goyim do a circumcision, they don't do mitzitza. They use the antiseptic, whatever they use. So the Maram Shik says, but that's not conclusive proof. They did 20,000 bris milas. Maybe they'll do 30,000. Maybe someone will die. So there's one chance out of 30,000. It is called the suffix sakon. That's a little humorous. And there's no ein ledaber gvul. Then the other Achranim say that maybe the Chazal, when they said it's a suffix sakana, maybe they meant it's a suffix sakana, the baby may become an apikiris. Not a suffix sakana for physical infection, it's a sakana for ruchnis. That's a suffix sakana. It's a little also a little strange. That's what the Gemara meant. Suffix sakana, maybe the baby may become an apikiris if you don't do mitzitza.
What is everything about mitzitza?
The Pashto says they shouldn't do it. Pashto says, if the doctors say there's any slight suffix sakana, so you shouldn't do it. Yeah. The Pashto says that quite a few babies die in New York area every year from the Chassidish because they insist on doing mitzitza bepeh. The Pashto says that they're killing Jewish babies because of their frumkeit. Yeah.
If they seem nervous about it, it's not more than
50-50. They're not nervous. The Rabbanim should tell them that they should be nervous. They're not nervous until it's their baby that dies, or until it's their baby that gets sick. Then the baby will be paralyzed for the rest of his life. The Rabbanim should tell the Balabatim that they should be nervous. It's not right on the part of the Rabbanim. Why should you say Shem Epsayim Hashem? If the whole world realized that this is a suffix sakana. No, the whole world is psoim. No, in any hospital, they know that you don't put your mouth to an open wound because it can cause infection. Everybody knows that. Only the Hasidim insist that they should do mitzitza b'peh. So that's foolish on that part. They shouldn't do it. The Rabbanim should tell. Instead of the Rabbanim telling them that they should put their lives b'safek sakana, they should tell them not to do the mitzitza b'peh. I think they're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a tallis to do it shalom b'peh?
You doing mitzitza?
Is there a tallis to that?
The Teperis Yisrael HaMishnayis once in Perek HaBlezer Nemila in Masech HaShabbos thinks that you don't need mitzitz at all. Teperis was a holy tzaddik. He used to go to mikveh every morning before he sat in Talas and Tulin all day long, writing his commentary on Mishnayis. He was a Talmud Rabbi Kivege. He lived in Germany. Rabbi Kivege lived in Germany. So he writes, he doesn't think we should do mitzitz at all, b'zman hazeh. Then he backs down from that, but then he doesn't think he should do mitzitz b'peh. Pashto said you shouldn't do mitzitza b'tasef. There is some tayelas. The question is, what's the tayelas? I'm not sure. I don't know. If you have antiseptic, so what do you need the whole mitzitza for? I don't know. Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara. Here in Simen Shin Chav Cheh, Sif Lamed Gimel, Goneach Mutalina K'chola Me'abehema. Person has some kind of a medical condition, and milking a cow we assume is a malocha deraisa. Machlokes was deraisa derabon. We assume milking a cow is a malocha deraisa, but the malocha deraisa is to milk a cow like this with your hands or with a machine. So this goneach, this fellow has a medical condition, and doctors say the bisman agemara. The doctors say that the treatment for that is that he should drink warm milk every day. So let him drink the milk directly from the cow. That's a malacha kalachayad. So malacha deraisa kalachayad is muta for the goneach. What kind of a medical condition does he have? What's going on here? So it's very unclear. So the Ramban and the Malchamis interprets the case. This is a Gemara. He interprets that goneach means like this. The person has a suffix sakana condition. Let's say a person has a serious sickness. And the doctors say, if you don't operate, he's going to die. So you're allowed to operate on Shabbos. Doctors say, no, you have to do a surgery within the next 6 months. So you're not allowed to be machal. They diagnosed him on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be machal Shabbos today to do the surgery today. Do the surgery in the middle of the week. Why be machal Shabbos? If there's a suffix sakana that by waiting till tonight the patient may die, then you have to hustle and do it today. But if the doctors think absolutely not, there's no suffix sakana. So then you wait till a weekday. So now the Ramban learns that that's what Gonech is. Gonech is a real suffix sakana. But the doctors think it's a brentnish. It doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to drink the milk today. He can take the milk tonight. But since he's drinking, he's doing the malacha deraisa, ayde shinui, kalach hayad, so we permit you to do the malacha even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Yeah, what's the din of if a pregnant woman has some kind of a condition and it's a suffix sakana only for the baby, not for the mother? This is a big machlekes in the Rishon. Tosis in Erechen and Tosis in other places has a machlekes balei Tosis about this. Is suffix sakana for the uber is a decha Shabbos or not? So the Rosh says that it's very rare to have such a case. If there's a concern, the woman may lose the pregnancy, so she may lose her life also. So how can a layman determine such a thing? If the Muberis has a slight sakana, let's say whether the Muberis should fast on Yom Kippur or not, or whether something happened, whether she should go to the hospital on Shabbos or not, should you be Michal Shabbos? If the life of the Uber is b'sakana, so it could well be the life of the mother is also b'sakana. So it's very rare that the whole Shabbos should come up. That's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. There's no psak on this. The whole issue is not brought up in Shulchan Aruch. Very strange. In Tosus, it's a discussion. In Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote it. So they quote from the Chazon Ish. I think in the Shemir Shabbos Kolchos, he quotes from the Chazon Ish. That's called Safik Nefashas Lahokel. Whenever there's a machlokes haposkim, just like if there's a Safik, whether we'll save his life, so we say Safik Pikoch Nefesh Lecha Shabbos. So if it's a Sveka Dedina, whether you're allowed to be Machal Shabbos, also you say, it's a suffix. Akanasi Mechal Shabbos. Taisus in Erechin has a kasha from a Gemara. So Taisus says the only time there's a machlokes is if the mother alive and she's pregnant with a fetus. What if the mother died? So then the fetus is considered kiyolud, then he's not an uber anymore. Then he's considered achai. Then for sure you machal Shabbos to save the life of the uber if the mother died. The Gemara said that's very rare, that the mother should die and the fetus should still be alive. Because the fetus is a parasite, is living off of the mother. So once the mother dies, the fetus is going to die very soon. But the Gemara says an erech in the end of the first perek. You have a few seconds, you have a few minutes. So the Gemara says you should rush to be Mechal Shabbos to save the life of the fetus. So Taisa says that doesn't prove the point that Pikuach Nefesh of an Uber is Derech Shabbos. He's only called an Uber if the mother is still alive. Once the mother is dead, so it's as if the baby is no longer an Uber, as if he's locked in prison in the mother's body, and you got to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life. But we're Mechal Shabbos for the Uber also. Yeah, there was a Gemara that was quoted in Shulchan Aruch. On page 328, Sif Yud Aleph, the Gemara in the last perek in Yuma. A person has some kind of a medical condition and you have to be Mechal Shabbos 8 days in a row. And the diagnosis is given on Shabbos. So should you wait till tonight? So you'll only be Mechal Shabbos next week. I'll be Mechal Shabbos Sunday through next Sunday. Or should I start today on Shabbos and I'll be Mechal Shabbos two Shabbos, and this Shabbos and next Shabbos? So the Gemara says you don't wait till tonight. So the Mishnah Brura says, why don't you wait till tonight? But we said before, if there's a suffix sakana, but the doctors say he needs surgery within the next 6 months, otherwise he's going to die. So the surgery doesn't have to be done today. So why can't you wait till tonight? So the Mishnah Brura in Lamed Beis understands, Ve'en zestira, doesn't contradict Sif Dalid, where it says if you can wait till tonight, wait till tonight. Hey, we're not so convinced that we can wait till tonight. If he won't start the treatment today on Shabbos, he may die. So that's a poshut. According to the Mishnah Berurah, the din in the Gemara is a poshut din. So on that Gemara in Yuma, the last parak in Yuma, there's a long, long rashash. Much longer than any, I think it's probably the longest rashash. Very long arichas. The rashash was not a rabbi. He was the Rosh HaKohol. He was a balabas. I said, Rabbi Gifter said, one of the two balabatim that he loves is the Rashash. Yeah. So the Rashash there has a long arichas. He thinks that it's not correct. He didn't have a Mishnah Berurah. He was before the Mishnah Berurah. He thinks that that's not the pshat. He thinks the pshat is, you're going to have to, he's not going to die. The doctors think you can wait a couple of months to the treatment. But you need treatment 8 days in a row. So since Ben Kovakoi you're going to have to be Mechala one Shabbos anyway, so there's no added aver to be Mechal two Shabbos. That's one suggestion that he gives. Since you're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos next week, if I wait till tonight, today's Shabbos, if I wait till Sunday, the first treatment will be on Sunday through next Sunday, so I have to be Mechal Shabbos one Shabbos. So since you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos next week to save his life, there's always going to have to be a Chil Shabbos, you need 8 days in a row. So it does make a difference in Mechal Shabbos today in addition. That's one suggestion. Then he has another suggestion, that's a little shver. It would have made sense if he already had been Mechal Shabbos. Once the Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in the end of Perek Rabbi Shmuel and Menachos. Yesterday I gave a Chabura, a little touching on that topic. Once you already were Mechal Shabbos, then there's more of a leniency to continue to be Mechal Shabbos more today. When you bring a Korbanus on Shabbos, you bring the Tmidim Umasofim. So you have to, you have no choice. When you shech them, so that's a Malacha Deraisa. When you zerk the dam, that's a malacha de rabbanon, a makaba patish, because you make the korban kosher when you do this rikas adam. So since you're permitted to be mechal Shabbos for the shechita, which is a malacha de raisa, so we even permit you to do the haktor emurim on Shabbos. Why don't you wait till tonight? Wait till after Havdalah, and then burn the emurim. It's mamish havara. Havara is not only if you strike a match, if you have a flame burning and you throw in fuel, you throw in meat, that's going to get burnt. That's also a malach of Havar. So burning the Emurim is a malach on Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, but it's a Hidur mitzvah to burn. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. Whenever you bring a carbon, it's preferable you should be makta the Emurim on the same day. You shouldn't wait till tonight. So because of a Hidur mitzvah, because Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita, Chaviva is a mitzvah, so you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? The answer is no, we were allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. We shechted the animal already. So to finish off the Hakrovas HaKarbon, Ayideh haktar seymor on Shabbos. That's the gemar of the korban, which was decha Shabbos. He allowed to. So the gemara says, "Hol benitna Shabbos lidochas." Since he was already permitted to be mechal Shabbos to begin with to do the shechita, so he allowed to continue to be mechal Shabbos to complete the mitzvah behidur. So that's the second suggestion that the Rashash has, that maybe the pshat in the gemara means that if he was mechal Shabbos today, the doctors say you have to start the treatment today, and you do 8 days in a row. So when it comes next Shabbos, we can really do the last treatment on Matzoi Shabbos of next week. There's no rush to do a Dafka on Shabbos in the daytime. You can do it on Matzoi Shabbos after Abdullah. But since Shabbos was already in Ditna Lidochas today, so then, and the treatment needs 8 days in a row, and even though you have a choice of either doing it Shabbos or Shabbos night, Matzoi Shabbos, so you rush to take care of the Pikuach Nefesh, Hol V'Nitna Shabbos Lidochas. It's a little bit doichik, he admits himself. It doesn't really sound like that in the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara is, Ma'u detema. One might have thought, you can wait till tonight, the first night, instead of being Mechal Shabbos today, start the first treatment on Matzoi Shabbos, the first treatment we're talking about. So he says, but it's not necessarily so. Could be the Gemara means on the eighth treatment. The first treatment, they say, has to be today. If you won't do it today, the patient may die. He's maybe like the Mishnah Berurah in Lamed Beis, but the Gemara is going on the eighth treatment. Hol v'nitna Shabbos lidochais, so therefore you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos to do the eighth treatment on Shabbos. Yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't make a difference if it's before or after, and maybe the Gemara is not necessarily Raya. That when it says Hol, that is it possible in the Gemara you say Hol Shabbos is Nitan Lidachos? It means since beforehand it was Mechal Shabbos, we can continue Mechal Shabbos. Maybe since in the Klal it was Mechal Shabbos, it's before or after, and a different Shabbos, it's Mechal Shabbos or this all.
I don't think so. I think the Gemara means since we have already had a heter to be Mechal Shabbos. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. So first the Rashash distinguishes, he says maybe here it's different. And then his second suggestion is, no, maybe it goes on the eighth treatment. The first treatment is like the Mishnah Berurah learned, that you got to do it now, you can't wait till tonight. And the eighth treatment, that can already wait till Matzoi Shabbos next week. So that the Gemara says, you don't have to wait till Matzoi Shabbos. Okay, we should all be healthy. We shouldn't get involved in these things. Shein genug. Okay, let's do a little Kiddush. Yeah.
Is the assumption of the Rashash that Kol Shabbos is kosher for a whole lot?
I don't think it's different. I don't think it's relevant.
He doesn't
go into that issue at all.
If the
Chuyim
just matters individual Maisa, so then why would my Maisa on next Shabbos be matter in my Maisa on this Shabbos?
He quotes a Mishnah in Krisis. What does one Shabbos got to do with the next Shabbos? He quotes a Mishnah in Krisis that's very important, that all the Shabbos are a hemshach of each other. You don't say Shabbos Noach is one Shabbos, Shabbos Lech Lecha is separate, they have nothing to do. No, there's one Tana in the Mishnah in Krisis, towards the end of Krisis, that if HaKosev Shtei Oisiyas B'Shabbos is Chayev Chatos, what if he wrote one Ois on Shabbos Noach, one Ois on Shabbos Lech Lecha? The one Tana says that Yechayev. Maybe we probably don't paskin like that, but for other reasons, not because every Shabbos is a different Kedusha Sayyad. All the Shabbosim are a hemshach of each other. Just like the Mishnah Berurah writes, I think it's a Sharat Zion. Mishnah Berurah writes in one place in a Sharat Zion that on Yontif you're allowed to cook food for Yontif. You're permitted to cook food on the first day Pesach, intending to eat it on Shvi Shal Pesach. Mishnah Berurah says, yeah. Even though Shvi Shal Pesach is not contiguous, it's not tomorrow. You have Chol HaMoed in between. So he says, still, but the seventh day Pesach is Hemshach of the Kedusha Sayyam, the first day of Pesach, that's called Echol Nefesh today for today. That's for the same Kedusha Sayyam. So the same thing, all the Shabbos are considered one being Hemshach. We pass in Ar Chayv Chattas for different reasons. Guf Mechlokin, or Yamim Shemitayin Havin Yediyah, various reasons, but really all the Shabbos are Hemshach. The Rashash quotes the Mishnah increases. It's a Gemara Pesachim also beferish like that, that all the Shabbosim are considered a Hemshech. So that's why he thinks maybe this is, both of his Pshatim are based on that assumption. All the Shabbosim are Hemshech. So the first suggestion he gives 40 lines, 60 lines. First suggestion he gives is, since next Shabbos is going to have to be, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos one day anyway, because you need treatment 8 days in a row, so you're even allowed to be Mechal Shabbos today. You don't have to wait to do Sunday through Sunday, you can do Shabbos through Shabbos. And the second suggestion he gave, no, maybe it means he can't wait till tonight because the treatment has to be done today. But next week he could have waited till the night time. So since Hovinit and Shabbos Lidochas. But the both Pshatim are based on the assumption, as he quotes from the Mishnah in Krisis, that all the Shabbosim of the year are one big Hemshech. Yeah.
There are certain cases where there's no
chiyuv
to be mechayei someone. There's a lot of suffering involved. But the person wants, so his life should be, he has a right to prolong his life. In those cases, when someone being held, there's no chiyuv, absolute chiyuv to be mechayei.
Well, he wants you to extend his life. Yeah. Yeah, then there is a chiyuv. Yeah. Then there is a chiyuv. You are mechuyev, yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas. Where he writes, a lot of times the whether you're mechuyev to extend a person's life depends on the chayla. He's in an iffy situation, he's going to extend his life, he's going to lose his hair, he's going to lose his hearing, he's going to lose his eyesight, he won't be able, he's going to amputate his legs. He's going to be very sick, very schwach. So it's up to him to decide whether it's reasonable or unreasonable. So if he says, I'd like to live on, then you have to extend his life. He said, I don't want to live on, so then you're not allowed to extend his life. Not allowed to extend his life. So Moshe says, but sometimes you have a situation where it's so unreasonable. The Mogen Avraham quotes a tshuva from the Radvaz and Shin Chav Ches. A young person, and he has gangrene, and they say, not on Shabbos, on weekdays, he wants to amputate his leg. And he says he'd rather die at the age of 20 than have them amputate his leg and give him a plastic leg. We say, but there are thousands of people who go around with plastic legs. You can live another 100 years normal. You can live a normal life, everything normal. You won't have any side effects. It's worth living. So he says, no, he'd rather die then live like that. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz that we do the surgery bal korchai. He has no right to choose such an unreasonable request. And the Rav Moshe says in the other direction also, let's say a person is suffering so much, if you would take a poll of 1,000 people, 999 out of 1,000 people would say, let me die already, that's absolutely unreasonable. And this guy has a bug in his head. No, he wants to live on. It's absolutely unreasonable. So he says, then we're not allowed to listen to him. We only listen to the patient if he's making a reasonable request. If it's absolutely unreasonable, then you're not allowed to listen to him. The Gemara has an expression that Rav Moshe quotes, "Tunavuhu denokitle." He's in a daze. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But in many cases, most of the time, it's the middle that many people would say, "Let me live on," and a lot of people would say, "Let me die ready. I had enough. Let me die ready." So whenever the patient says, "Let me die," Moshe says we should always encourage him. He shouldn't make that choice. Don't say, let me die. Live on, do mitzvahs another couple of days. No. But if the person feels that's it, he wants to die. So that's it.
Shouldn't the Pasuk say in Kohelas, like, better to be a live dog than lying? Dogs obviously looked down upon very much. Can you say that, like, no matter how bad it is, it's always better to be alive?
Maybe we should try to convince people of that, but sometimes it's just not so. Sometimes, even though the patient wants to live on, we're not allowed to extend his life. What's the avera? What's the avera to extend? So Moshe says it's chavola, chavol b'chaveri, causing him, by treating him and by extending his life, he's causing him to suffer pain another couple of days. He already suffered enough. He wants to live on, but that's absolutely unreasonable choice, and we're not allowed to extend his life because it's considered chavol b'chaveri.
You should make a difference between withholding.
Yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah, you're not allowed to kill a person by a dime. That's a murder. But there's no mitzvah to extend his life if it's unreasonable. So there's no mitzvah to extend his life. The Stipula has in the collection of letters, after the Chazanish passed away, so they published Igris Chazanish, collection of letters. The Chazanish had such a beautiful style Hebrew. He had his own style Hebrew. Like Rabbi Soloveitchik had his own style Hebrew. Difficult. Chazanish also has very poetic style Hebrew. Sometimes in his Chidushim, in Halacha, he goes into poetry. When it's a dakas dikasvar, he starts writing a poetic lashonos. So after the Stipula passed away, Stipula was a brother-in-law of the Chazanish. He married his sister. All the Chazanish's brothers and sisters, they were all rabbonim, were married to Talmid Chacham. all the 12 brothers and sisters, I think, something like that. A very big family. The father was a rabbi, and all of the children were rabbis and married to rabbis. So after the stipler passed away, so they printed a collection of his letters. His letters are not such a beautiful style Hebrew. Very rough style Hebrew. Very gruff. Very rough style Hebrew. So in one of the letters he has there, someone asked him about extending life. So he writes, when we were young children, it was ingrained in our minds that the Jewish position always is that you always extend life. Then we got a little older, and we learned the Ran and the Dorim on Daf Mem, and then we learned the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, the end of Yeridei, all based on the Gemara, and the end of Ksubas by Rebbe, when Rebbe was about to die. And we see that it's not always the case. But he doesn't write what the klal is. He says, we don't always say that you should always extend life. The Shulchan Aruch has rules and regulations, yours truly. He doesn't give the rules. The letters, all the letters, he doesn't give any. He wasn't a Poisek, he gave a Pil Pulim. He wasn't a Psak Halacha. We paskin cannot. Also, Lodom is machlekes with the muta Lodom lachbo biatzma, Mishnah bobekamen, hachaybel. We paskin also Lodom lachbo biatzma. So he's not allowed to do it to himself, so he can't be moichel to someone else, can't give someone else permission either. Okay, Reishayin Aleph has the dinim of Kiddush. The Gemara says that reciting Kiddush is the intention of the pasuk Zohar Yom Shabbos Lekatcha. Zohar doesn't mean belave, to remember. Zohar means lahazkir bepeh, to mention, lahazakir. Same thing, Zohar is also l'chav molek. So the Gemara says in Megillah, daf yadal yochav belave, you should remember, talmud lomar lo sishkach. Amani mekayim Zohar, Zohar means bepeh. So the word Zohar, the verb Zohar, sometimes means to remember, sometimes it has the connotation of lahazakir. Mm-hmm. Or by Megillah Esther, it says, hayamim ha'ele nizkarim ina asim. So Gemara says the word Nizkarim does mean the days are remembered, the days are spoken of, the days are mentioned. And that word, Nizkarim, is the Makkah from Mikra Megillah. Otherwise it never says in the Megillah, you have to read the Megillah. Gemara in the first half of Megillah says the word Nizkarim means the days are spoken of, namely, that you read the Megillah. So here Zachas Yom Shabbos Lakacha means mention the Kedushas Hayam of Shabbos to sanctify it. Is this Pshuta Shal Mikra, or is this an additional level of interpretation? Would have asked me, I would have said that it's an additional level of interpretation. So the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam has the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He lists off the 14 klolim, the 14 sharashim that guide him to determine which mitzvahs belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which not. So he says, we're not going to include drushes of the Torah Shebaal Peh, because that's Ein L'Dovah Sof. In every generation, the Chachamim have the right to darshan additional things. So how are you going to limit it to 613? So he says, no, there's 613 mitzvahs based on Pshuto Shel Mikra. So he comes to the mitzvah of Kiddush. So he says, is that Pshuto Shel Mikra? He says, yes. Zohar Yom Shabbos Lakatcha, the literal translation means to mention, to speak of Kedushas Hayom. How does he know that that's the literal translation? Maybe, like I said, that it's an additional level of interpretation. Zokter, because the Gemara says, Aloshin, in Brachas Tav Chaf, Nashim Chayavis B'Kiddush Hayom, Dvar Torah. So I would have said that term means midiraisa, not midirabbanan. The Rambam says no. The term, the phrase, the term means pshuto shel mikra. I don't know where you got that from, but that's what the Rambam writes. That Kiddush is pshuto shel mikra, and it says so in the Gemara. Nashim chayavs. Yeah. What is the context of the Gemara? Gemara says even though Kiddush should have been considered a mitzvah saseh shas man grama. Shabbos is mechayev to recite Kiddush. Nonetheless, this is an exception to the rule that women are mechuyev. There are many exceptions to the rule of mitzvah aseh shas man grama. Women are mechuyev to eat matzah. How do we paskin women mechuyev in korban Pesach? Pesach Rishon, I think we paskin. It's machlek is satanayim. Noshim berishon chayva, noshim berishon reshus. I think we may paskin chayva. What else? Women are mechuyev in hakel, even though it says man grama. I think the Rambam writes in one place in the Pirush HaMishnayos, if I'm not mistaken, there are more exceptions to the rule than the rule. How many mitzvahs aseh shas man grama are there that the women are potter from? Tzitzis and tefillin and shofar.
Arba minim.
Sukkah. Huh?
He counts tefillin twice.
Two mitzvahs. Okay. Shal rosh and shal yeah. Yeah. So there's so many exceptions to the rule. Could well be that there are more exceptions than the rule. The Gemara says that women are mechuyev in Kiddush, despite the fact that it says man grama, women are mechuyev in Kiddush. The Gemara has a lashon zachas hamishnah b'slakatcho zachrehu al hayayin. you should recite Kiddush over a cup of wine. Alayayin is also a din deraisa, or is that only added mid the rabbanon that you should drink a toast? You should drink l'chaim, a toast. Perhaps, I don't know, in America we don't drink toasts, no. In England it's still involved in the toasts, yeah. A toast to the queen, yeah. There may be some nafkaminas, I don't know. Could be that there are nafkaminas, yeah.
But that's not obvious, literal. It's not clear.
Yeah, so the Rambam's opinion is that Alayayin is only with the Rabbanon. That's the accepted opinion. That to recite Kiddush over a cup of wine is only the Rabbanon. But there were many Rishonim who held that Alayayin is their Isa. The issue comes up in a Gemara in Nazir Daf Dalid, where the Gemara discusses a Nazir. One of the three prohibitions of the Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Yain Tumen Tiglachas. Shlosh Aminim, Asurim L'Nazir, the Mishnah says, that's the name of the Perek and Nazir, Shlosh Aminim, the three prohibitions, Yain Tum and Tiglachas. So the Gemara has a discussion, is the Nazir allowed to drink wine for Kiddush and Avdolah? So the earlier Balei HaTosis read the Gemara that the Nazir is permitted to drink wine for Kiddush and Avdolah. Mm-hmm. That was the old way to read the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam says that that's utterly ridiculous, that makes no sense whatsoever, so he says, Losh Nazir Meshuneh. The editor who edited Maseches Nazir had a different style from the rest of Shas. They had different committees editing the different Masechtas, apparently. So he writes, Noshin Nedarim is Mishuna, Loshin Nazir is Mishuna. So the Gemara really meant Bitmiyah. Ha ha! Well, Nazir is allowed to drink wine. And the Gemara says, a Nazir is allowed to drink wine. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you have to read it. Nazir is allowed to drink wine, Bitmiyah. Of course he's not allowed to drink wine. Nothing to discuss. So there were Rishonim who held that Alayayin is deraisa, and then a Nazir is allowed to drink wine. That's Rabbi Chana Basman asked. Even if you hold that Alayayin is deraisa, everybody has to drink the wine. Let him say Kiddush, and his wife will drink the wine. The Nazir in Yerushalayim, his wife was not a Nazir, he was a Nazir. So he'll say Kiddush, and the wife will drink the wine. Who says? So Rabbi Chana says, apparently those Rishonim held that Yayin Shal Mitzvah is not included in the prohibition, even though you can be Yotzi Kiddush without drinking the wine. Let someone else say Kiddush. But since it's Yayin Shal Mitzvah, Yayin Shal Kiddush, so it's permissible, just like the Nazir is allowed to drink schnapps, he's allowed to drink beer, it's only forbidden to drink wine, so he's allowed to drink Yayin Shal Mitzvah, was never included in the Yisrael. Yeah, but we don't hold like that. We hold that Allah Yayin is only the Rabban. Yeah, the Gemara says Kiddush is their Isa. Kiddush is their Isa on Shabbos. What about Yontif? Kiddush on Yontif is also their Isa. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah. Rambam writes explicitly that all the Yom Tovim are also referred to as Shabbos. Svatim Lachamim Machras as Shabbos. So Yontav is also referred to as Shabbos. So the Chi of Kiddush on Yontav is also the Raisa. Shukulam Shabbos Hashem Hein. All the Yom Tovim have the status of Shabbos. And the Magen Mishnah writes that there are those who disagree with the Rambam. They hold Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabban. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, who says Kiddush on Yontav is the Rabban. He has all the Nafkaminas Ledina based on it. And then in the footnote, he quotes the Prima Gonim is not so convinced. How do they note the Paschal like the Magen Mishnah? Maybe it should be like the Rambam, that Kiddush on Yontav is their Isa. What about Havdalah? Is Havdalah their Isa, their Rabbanon? So the Tosfos has two opinions. The Gemara said that the old Girsa in the Gemara, the Yen Kiddush v'Havdalah, the Nazir is allowed to drink. Yen Kiddush v'Havdalah. That they held not only Kiddush Alayayin is their Isa, Havdalah is their Isa, and Yain Havdalah is their Havdalah Alayayin is also their Isa. So Tosfos said, how can it be? But Havdalah Bechlal is only with the Rabbanon. Kiddush, you have a Pasuk, Havdalah, you don't have a Pasuk. And others hold not so. That's a machloikis, but the Havdalah is their Isa. The simple reading of the Rambam is that all four are their Isa. Kiddush and Havdalah on Shabbos, Kiddush and Havdalah on Yontav, everything is their Isa. The Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, which he wrote as a teenager, so he has strange, he's pushing that even according to the Ram, Havdalah and Yontav is only the Rabbanon. Pashup Shat is not so. Pashup Shat, all four, Kiddush and Havdalah, Shabbos, Kiddush and Havdalah, Yontav, everything is their rice. Yeah.
The idea of having the wine, though, if the same idea as like a toast, that for some reason it's just more special to say something
about it. Yeah, it enhances the chashivas of the bracha, like we said before sukkahs. The Gemara says when you construct your sukkah, you should really say shachyano, but we want to enhance the chashivas of the bracha of shachyano, so we save until we recite Kiddush on Leil Yantif, and then we say the Shachyanu at the end, so that becomes enhanced. The Chshivas of the Shachyanu becomes enhanced.
Is there a logic behind it that for some reason that's what humans do?
Yeah, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch says, let's say for some reason or another he was not able to eat in the Sukkah, so he says Shachyanu because it's Yontif. On Pesach and on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, you say Shachyanu.
He also finished going in the Sukkah.
Right, so then in the morning, let's say that reason why he wasn't able to eat in the Sukkah on Leil Sukkahs is only Balayla. In the morning he is able to, so then the Ramon says, now he says Shachyanu in the morning, because it's the first time since last year that he's fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah. The Shabbos, what about the Shachyanu on the construction of the sukkah? So that's a big machlekes in the Rosh, that the Gemara says you could have said Shachyanu when you construct the sukkah, or you say Shachyanu when you sit in the sukkah and you say Kiddush. What if he said it in between? I built the sukkah a week before Sukkot, and then on Erev Sukkot I want to say Shachyanu over the construction of the sukkah. So that's a machlokes, a yoytze in between. It may be a machlokes, not necessarily so. Maybe a machlokes. The Rosh never said that case that I gave. The Rosh didn't say, if I built the sukkah a week before, and there are sukkahs, I want to say Shachyanu. The Rosh gives the following case. I built the sukkah a week before sukkahs. I sat in sukkah the first night, but I have to observe Yantab Sheni, mi suffix on Yantab Sheni, I'm going to say Shachyanu again. So does the Shachyanu on the second night of Yantif also go on the construction of the sukkah, because I wasn't yotze last night. Maybe yesterday was Erev Sukkot, and today is the first night of Sukkot. We observe Yantu Sheni as a Sveika de Yoyma. So the Rosh quotes those who say, I wasn't yotze Shachyanu last night. So the Rosh thinks it's not true. Even if you weren't yotze, so yotze Shachyanu in between. Yotze Shachyanu in between because you were sitting in the sukkah. If I sit in the sukkah on Erev Sukkot, and I say Shachyanu, so I'm using the sukkah. But if I just, apropos to nothing, I constructed the sukkah a week before Sukkot, and on Erev Sukkot in shul, after davening, after Shachos, I want to say Shachyanu over the construction of the sukkah, could be the Rosh would agree that that's a bracha about Tomah. Could be the Rosh would hold that you're not Yotze in between. He says Yotze in between, if you say Shachyanu, the first night of Sukkot, you were sitting in the sukkah, even if you hold the first night is Chol, but I used the sukkah. Let's say I bought a suit that fits me perfectly. So I really should say Shachyanu when I buy the suit. It doesn't need any alteration. I didn't say Shachyanu. I bought the suit in order to wear it at my daughter's getting married. So I'm going to wear the suit at the wedding. Then I decide the main purpose of buying the suit is for the wedding. Otherwise I wouldn't buy. Then I decide I want to wear the suit to Shabbos before the wedding also. So I put on the suit. So you can say Shachyanu on Shabbos when you wear the suit. Well, what if I'm not going to wear the suit? I bought a suit. I'm going to wear it at the wedding. I say Shachyanu after the purchase, before I wear it. Are you Yotze B'Dievet? I don't know. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch what the din is. They don't discuss it in Hilchos Shachyanu. Could be that you're not Yotze Shachyanu then.
From the time when you, if you would sit instead of the first day, then you say one Shachyanu for the day and for the
second. Right. Right. It's really three Shachyanus. When you say Shachyanu the night of Sukkot, it's a Shachyanu on Yontif, like on Pesach, like on Rosh Hashanah, like on the Yom Kippur, you say Shachyanu. Then it says Shachyanu on the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. Haven't sat in the Sukkah since last year. Like I haven't heard the Megillah since last year. Then there's a third Shachyanu. Yotze, all three in one bracha. Third Shachyanu. If I buy a house or I build a house, you say Shachyanu. If I build a dog house, a doll house, I don't say Shachyanu. If I build a bill house, I say Shachyanu. If I build a Sukkah, that because I use the Sukkah for a mitzvah, that's like building a chashuva house. So you say Shachyanu because of Abayna Bayis Liatzma. So the Shachyanu that you say on Leil Yontif is really for three different purposes. So then you have to figure out, what if I was away from home the first couple of days of Sukkot? Then I come home, I ate by other people. So I said Shachyanu on the mitzvah of Sukkah, I haven't fulfilled the Sukkah, the mitzvah in a year, and it's Yontif, I said Shachyanu, but I didn't say Shachyanu on my Sukkah. I built the Sukkah and I didn't sit there till the middle of Chol HaMoed. So that's a question. Maybe I should say Shachyanu on Chol HaMoed when I sit in my sukkah. That's a discussion. Yeah. The Gemara says the Kiddush should be recited alayayin. So we assume it's only Midrash Rabbanan. Yeah, the Rabbi Natam interprets the Gemara in Arvei Psachim that Kiddush can be either be recited over a cup of wine or over challah. That's a Kiddush. Havdalah, you can't recite over a challah. Oh, you cannot do it. I forgot already who says which way. Tosis has 2 days. Tosis has a machlokes. How do you read the Gemara? So we pass in halacha that you can. That you can say Kiddush over chalas. That's where it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Preferable to say Kiddush over wine, but if you can't afford the wine, then it says Shachyanu over chalas here. You can't say Habdallah over chalas. Manashtana Kiddush from Habdallah. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that you can only recite Kiddush over chalas if the riftas chavivale, he prefers the chalas as opposed to the wine. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, when it comes to Matzoy Shabbos, you're stopped from eating so much food on Shabbos, eating challah is not chavivale. It's more chaviv to have the wine. That's the official answer that he gives. Rav Soloveitchik gave a different answer. That was, he gave a whole yahrzeit drasha. He used to have yahrzeit on Gimel Shvat, yahrzeit for his father. He used to every year. For many, many years, he gave a major shiur. And many people came from all over the United States. People used to fly in from out of town in order to participate in the yahrzeit drasha. So one yahrzeit drasha, he developed the following idea, that there's a din in brachas, that if I'm going to say a bracha, we said the Ran in the end, the Ran on the Rif at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes a Yerushalmi that there are 3 cases where we don't allow Shemei Koine. By Kriyashma, it's not right. I'll say Kriyashma Yivli Yotzev Shemei Koine. By Shemona Esrei, everybody should say the Ron, if you know how to. And when you're eating food, everybody should say the Ron Bracha before and after. So by eating food, we have a little bit of an exception to the rule. It says in Mishnah, if everybody's Hasebu, if everybody's eating the Haseba around the same table, one can recite the Bracha for the others. Taisus says that Bizmanazah, we don't eat the Haseba. So Taisus writes in Brachas, Yeshiva Didan, Haseba the two by us. If everybody's sitting around the table, you can say Hamoitzi to be Moitzi the others. A lot of people say Hamoitzi, the people are walking around, they're not sitting down. So you're not Moitzi them. The Gemara says, you need Dafke either Hasebu or Yeshiva Didan. You need the maximum kviyas that is possible. So the maximum kviyas by us is Yeshiva. You have to be sitting down. Yeah. So what kind of a din is that? And the same thing the Gemara says, benching. Each person should bench on his own if they know how to. You shouldn't have one person recite benching for the other person. He ate the meal on his own, so let him recite the bracha before and after on his own. The exception to the rule is if Hesebu or Yeshiva Didan, Hesebu the two, if they were all eating together, then you have one person bench mezumin, and mizman ha-gemara, the practice was only he said the benching, and the others didn't recite the bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik's idea that he developed was that when one person says ha-moitzi for everybody, one person benches for everybody, it's not based on Shemei HaKoina. The Ran quoted Yerushalmi, we don't permit Shemei HaKoina. It's based on a different idea, that if a whole chabura is eating, he didn't want to call it a tzibur. He would call it a tzibur if you would have 10 people. But if you have a mezuman of 3 people, so he wanted to call it birchas hamazon b'chabur. If you have 10, you call it birchas hamazon b'tzibur. Okay. So if you have a whole chabur of people who are eating together, whole chabur is only obligated to offer one hamoitzi, or one bar piagofen, if they're drinking wine together. Or the whole chabur is only obligated to recite one birchas hamazon. Sounds a little strange. Sounds like a svarah de rabbanon. The whole chabur is only obligated to offer one birchas hamazon. Sounds like a svarah de rabbanon. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the din of mezumin is a din deraisa. He thought that this idea was a din deraisa. It's a machlekes in the Mishnah Berurah, whether the whole institution of benching mezumin is deraisa de rabbanon. He thought his attitude always was that whenever the Gemara has a din, we assume it's deraisa unless it's clear otherwise. The Prima Gadim always assumed, every page in Shulchan Aruch, Prima Gadim always raised the issue, every sneeze in Shulchan Aruch, is this a din deraisa, a din derabbanan? So he always assumes it's a din derabbanan unless you have a proof that it's a din deraisa. Rav Soloveitchik always assumed not so. He always assumed everything is a din deraisa unless you have a beferish arai, that it's a din derabbanan. It's a whole different attitude, a whole different approach. So the idea behind one person saying Bar Piagofen for everybody and one person saying Hamoitzi, the Gemara says it's only by Pasan Yain, because it's only called Kviyas Suda by Pasan Yain. If you're drinking a beer party, that's not called the Kviyas Suda. If people are eating potato chips or drinking soda or something, that's not called achila bikvias. The only two things that are called achila bikvias is pas and yai.
If your party be usher because of, like, I don't know, like hukas akum or like Moshe Blitzim, right?
It's a good idea, it should be awesome. Okay. Yeah. But let's say a lot of times by Shalom Zacha they serve diet. They do it l'shem shamayim, we hope. Maybe. If it's within the context of a mitzvah, divrei Torah, and it's l'shem shamayim, so it's not a problem. It depends how they do it. It's very unfortunate that in many other shuls, they have kiddush on Shabbos morning with schnapps, and people get drunk, and they go home, and they scream at their wives, and they show their children how to act like a goy, and they ruin the whole marriage. They ruin the whole life. They should prohibit drinking schnapps in all the shuls. It's terrible. That's the end of the story. They're going to have to prohibit schnapps. Anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik developed this idea that according to the way we pass in Halacha, the Kiddush can either be recited over Pasa Yayin. The idea is you kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. The Kiddush should be recited either on Pasa Yayin, because Pasa and Yayin are the two macholim that are singled out in Gemara Brachas, that those two are called Achila Bikris. Even if the Gemara there is talking about many people eating together, several people eating together, the whole Chabur is only obligated to offer one bracha before, and by Bencha Mizuan, one bracha after. But here, Rav Soloveitchik was saying, even if a person is eating by himself on Shabbos, but Pasan Yayin is called Achila Bikvias, so the Kiddush should be recited either on Pasan Yayin, because to be Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. Yeah, this is Friday night. Shabbos morning, you can't say Kiddush over Pas. You don't recite anything, Mikra Din. We recite Psukim, but that's only a minute. Mikra Din, you just say the Bar Pi Agafen. So what are you going to say? You're going to make Kiddush over Chala in the morning? Just going to say Amoitzi Lachmanot. That's like any day of the week. You're washing to say Amoitzi. So that's not Kiddush. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Tshuvos HaRosh. On Shabbos morning, he cannot be Yotzi Kiddush over Pas. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, this is only Kiddush, that the purpose of the Kiddush is to be Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. But by Havdalah, that's a Brocha Lakos. You can't say a Brocha Lakos over Chala. The Rabbi Natam, the Baal HaTosfos, who disagrees and says he cannot say Kiddush over Chala, because he holds true the purpose of the Kiddush is to be Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. That's why you have to have Kiddush B'makom Suda, to be Kaveh the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. But it has another element to it. It's a Brocha Lakos. So if you have a challah, it's not a bracha lakos. So we don't follow that opinion. We hold that the main ikir inyan really is it's kaviyah suda l'shem suda Shabbos. But Abdullah is purely a bracha lakos. So if a challah, there's no bracha lakos. Abdullah is not for the purpose of kaviyah suda. Yeah, the Gemara has a din. The Gemara has a discussion in Perek Avriy Psochim. Does the wine have to be red wine? Why? Because the pasuk says al tere yayin. The pasuk in Mishlei, that when the wine is red, so you see the color and it gets you more excited. So there's a machlekes hatanoim, and the Ramban paskens like the opinion. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ramban's opinion. Machlekes. Ramban's opinion is that for kiddush you must have red wine. You can't have white wine. We really don't pasken like that. But luchumre lachatchila, a person should try to see to it that he always has red wine. Yeah. Rabbi Kavega talks about a lot of times people bring me a gift, they bring me white wine. So I always save the white wine for Shabbos morning, because Rabbi Kavega writes on the bottom of the page here in Hilchas Kiddush, since on Shabbos morning the Gemara says you're allowed to use Chamar Medina, if wine is not available, you can use Chamar Medina. So white wine is like Gora from Chamar Medina. So he's making a little bit on Shabbos morning. So what am I going to do with the white wine? So I'm going to throw it out. So I use it for Kiddush on Shabbos morning. So I had a boy who used to eat by me a lot, so when he got married, he bought two cases of wine, white wine and red wine. The white wine he used for Shabbos morning, and the red wine he used for Friday night. He didn't understand why I used white wine for Shabbos morning. I had white wine. I didn't want to throw it out, so I used it for Shabbos morning. Yeah. Many have the practice that they use schnapps for Kiddush on Shabbos morning, because the Gemara says that you can use Chamar Medina. So Moshe has a tshuva, he says, first, he has a tshuva, what constitutes Chamar Medina? Then in the closing paragraph, he says, but what part of the world do you live in? Wherever you live, wine is available. You only use Chamar Medina if wine is not available. Wine is available all over, even if you ran out of wine. So your next door neighbor has wine. So go to the next door neighbor. The whole thing is not right. To use schnapps for Kiddush on Shabbos morning is not right. Wine is available. The Chafetz Chaim, most of the time, used to say Kiddush over Chala, they couldn't afford wine. In America, everybody can afford wine. Everybody. Most Jews are wealthy, they can afford wine. You can't afford, so you make Kiddush over Chalas. But most people in America can't afford wine, so they should use wine. Rav Chaim Volozhiner complains about those, about the Hasidim, who used to make Kiddush over schnapps on Shabbos morning. He says it's like making Kiddush over a bowl of soup. He says that soup is a meichel, and he says that schnapps is a meichel. It's not a mashke. In order to qualify as a chamar medina, it has to start off as a beverage. He says schnapps is not a beverage. People don't drink schnapps when they're thirsty. Even in Russia, where they drink a lot of vodka, they don't drink it when they're thirsty. They drink it when they want to relax. But it's not a beverage. That's in fact the Kozhuk Glover, who was killed by the Nazis. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Lublina Yeshiva. Meryl Shapiro invited him to come to be the Rosh Yeshiva. He was Rabbi Kozhuk Glover before the First World War. After the First World War, there was no more Kozhuk Glover. So then he was known as the Kozhuk Glover. So he has, he wrote a tshuva to defend the Chassidish. He was a Chassidish to defend the practice of making Kiddush over Shabbos morning, on Shabbos morning, over a tiny cup of schnapps that's less than a reviz. So usually they say it's based on the Taz, that the Taz writes, in order to say Bracha Achrayna, you have to either eat a kazais of food or drink a reviz of a beverage. So the Taz says that if you're drinking schnapps, even less than a reviz also requires a burn of ashes, because it has a shear of chashivas. So they say, even though the Magen Avraham disagrees with the Taz, and he says he should have a full reviz, should only say burn the fashes over schnapps if you had a whole reviz. So the Hasidim used to follow the Taz, that in schnapps you don't need a reviz. Less amount of schnapps that you put in a schnapps glass, that's good enough. So many of the Hasidim say they rely on the Taz. So the Kozhuk Glover has a different mahalach. He quotes from the Kamarna, there was another Hasidish Rebbe, wrote, printed a commentary on Mishnayos. Kamarna writes on Mishnayos Taras, like Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the schnapps is a meichel. It's not a mashke. Like soup. Soup is a meichel. The difference between a meichel and a mashke, it's not solid versus liquid. The difference is food versus beverage. So soup you don't drink when you're thirsty. And schnapps you don't drink when you're thirsty. So that's a meichel. So the Kozhuk Glover says, since schnapps is a meichel, and a meichel, the shear is not revius, the shear is kazayis. And kazayis is a machloikis. And Shulchan Aruch, how big is it? Is it shlish beitza, chatzi beitza? And the Magen Avraham says, halacha lemaisa, by dinim, the Rabbanon, you can be mekel, whatever is lukulik mekel. So Kiddush on Shabbos morning is only the Rabbanon, so you can be mekel. So a shlish beitza is enough. So the schnapps glass has a shlish beitza, so that's why it's good. It's good because it's a meichel, and the meichel this year is kazayis, and you have your kazayis. So that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, it's a meichel. So it's a meichel, you don't get the first base. How can you call it a chamar medina? Chamar medina means it's the wine of the medina. Means this is the beverage that you mechabit guests. If a guest would come, water is not chamar medina. You have to have something more than water.
I thought the Mishnah Berurah says because of the tremendous suffix by coffee and tea, so bottom line is a big suffix. You should try, he has given a different solution. You can't make bracha achrayna on less than a reviz because you don't drink it in one shot. But according to the Kozhuk Glover, so then it's like a food. Coffee and tea, you don't drink to quench your thirst also. It's for the taste, it's for the caffeine or something like that. So we should.
No, a lot of people drink tea. I drink tea when I'm thirsty. We in America don't drink wine, but wine is a beverage.
They drink wine instead of water.
Right. A lot of countries, whatever the water is polluted, then they drink wine like water. Yeah, they drink it as a beverage, yeah. So that's really not right. They say Kiddush Shabbos morning, over schnapps is not right at all. You should use wine, by Yom or Balayla, both. Yeah.
What was the inherent value of red wine? Why was
it? More of a hashivas, like we were talking about Tzviya Baichlan. So we said if the wine is red, so you start to salivate, and the Gemara says the blind person doesn't enjoy the food as much as the person who can see it. Because when you see the food, then you have more of a gishmak, more of a gishmak when you eat it. And if this food has certain pretty colors, then it's more of a gishmak. So when the wine is red, it tastes better.
It's not that red. If any interesting color, it would be the same thing, right?
Let's say purple wine, black wine. Black wine is considered... The Gemara says in Hilchas Nida, the Adama Nida is only mitame if it's red or if it's black. Shachar is Adam Hu Elo Shaloka. So they quote it in Hilchas Kiddush, that if the wine is black wine, it's also considered Yain Adam. It's also considered like red. Red, a purple, a black. That's
they
considered.
See, like, they have all these interesting like, bottles, they see, like, and they have like, an interesting color. And they just,
the other colors, I don't know. The other color. No, if it's black or purple or. But if it's green, I don't think so.
It's an appetizing color.
Yeah, but the Pasuk only says the Atera Yain Ki Yis Adam, red. Yeah.
Okay.
So how serious is the problem of using schnapps? Like if you're using someone
extremely serious.
you should insist on getting.
You should insist they should stop using the schnapps and they should start using wine. Whenever wine is available, you're not supposed to use Chmar Medina.
If it's like a Ben Adam Lechaver problem, you'd still say that.
You have to educate the public. Torah tours. You're on Torah tours wherever you go, and you have to teach them what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to use wine. Wine is much better than schnapps. Yeah. What does it mean? The Gemara has a din kiddush b'makom seder. Kiddush b'makom seder, that for sure is only the Rabbanon. That's not their rice. Kiddush b'makom seder. The Gemara has a machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel, does kiddush have to be recited b'makom seder or not? And we paskin, yes. Ein kiddush ala b'makom seder. Yeah. So the Gemara asks the kasha, so why do you say kiddush in shul? On Friday night, no one's eating there. So the Gemara says, no, the Aniyim used to eat in the shul. But Bismana said, we don't have any Aniyim eating in shul, so should we still recite Kiddush in the shul? So that was a big machloikas. So they quote the Tshuva from the Rambam. We don't know how authentic it is. They have it printed in the collection of Tshuva's Rambam. We should still recite Kiddush in the Beis HaKnesses. Initially it was instituted because of the Aniyim who used to eat in the shul. But once they instituted it, so it's a takana, just like Chazaras HaShatz was initially instituted because of Mishein HaBaki. And now even if you're in a yeshiva, Kolon HaChachamim, Kolon HaNevinim, Kolon HaZakenim, everybody knows how to daven. They made a takana, you need Chazaras HaShatz. The motivation to institute it initially was because they were Eina Bikin. But once they instituted it, so it's a tefillas hatzibur. You got to have chazaras hashatz. So the same is true regarding kiddush and shul. That's what it says in this tshuva that's attributed to the Rambam. And then the Mechaber writes that the minig in Eretz Yisrael was that they didn't say kiddush and shul. And the Rambam writes the minig in Poland was that they did say kiddush and shul. There's a sefer Matei Ephraim on Hilchus Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, has a little bit on Sukkos by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. So he writes that the Mechaber and the Ramah are not arguing with each other. Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael and the Ramah lived in Chutz Lartz. The Gemara says, why did they institute Kiddush in Shul? Because of the Anim who used to eat in Shul. So Taisus asks on that Gemara, and Arvi Psochem, how are you allowed to eat in Shul? So Taisus gives one answer, but the Knesia Shebebavel al Tanai Hei Masuim. All the Shuls in Chutz Lartz are built al Tanai. It's self-understood that if you need it, you're allowed to eat in the Shul. So the Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they never had Aniyim eating in the shul. So they never had a minig to make Kiddush in the shul. So the Mechaber is right in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramah is right in Chutz Lartz. So don't machlekes, it depends where you live. That's the harifus of Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius.
But the Tosfos Arvi Psachim says they didn't eat in the shul, they couldn't eat in the shul
because it's also eating in the shul. So they ate right outside the shul. That's the other answer, right? But one answer was that, so he says, according to that answer, we understand that there's no machlekes in the Mechaber and the Ramah. They both said the same. Yeah, what is considered kiddush b'makom suda? So the pashup shot, you have to eat the meal. You have to eat the suda of pas. In Adya, I'd say, if you don't have pas. Suda shlishis, that's 2 days in Taisus. That's a Sufik in Taisus. The first two sudas have to be pas. And the third suda, Taisus has two opinions whether you really need pas. I mean, the tagima is also good. But since the first two sudas need pas, so the pashto says kiddush makom suda, you have to have pas. If you understand that's a fundamental question, what is the basis of the din? What's the idea behind the din of kiddush makom suda? So the way Rav Soloveitchik understood, the kiddush is to be kaveh the suda, the shem suda Shabbos, to enhance the suda. So kiddush makom suda means you have to have the pas. The Ge'onim, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, understood otherwise. They understood kiddush makom suda is to enhance the kiddush. That's how the Rashbam quotes. Yain, in connection with eating other food, is more choshev than yain not in connection with other foods. So that's why the Ge'onim were of the opinion that one can satisfy the requirement of kiddush makom suda if you have cake on Friday night, or Shabbos morning, you would be yotzei the kiddush. You don't need the kiddush to be kaveh the suda, the shem suda. You can eat the suda later. You have to have a bite of something, maybe another cup of wine. You have another cup of wine, kiddush makom suda, to get, add chashivas to the kiddush. So that's a machlokes. Everybody's mekel on Shabbos morning. A lot of people say kiddush and they just have cake in the shul. So the Magen Avraham understands that the minhag olam is that we follow the goyim. So the Magen Avraham writes the same is true on Friday night. Let's say it's Friday night, and he's in that part of the world that he makes kiddush at the 12 o'clock at night. till the sun sets. It's 12 o'clock at night till he makes Kiddush. He doesn't want to eat at 1 o'clock. He wants to go to sleep. So the Magen Aram says, say Kiddush, have a little bit of cake. Say a bracha, I'm trying to go to sleep. You weren't yet to Suda's Shabbos. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you didn't have the Suda Friday night, to have all the three Sudas in the daytime. There's a chiyuv to have three Sudas. So it's learned that from the Pasuk, Hayom, 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 Echlu, Hayom, Geshavas, Hayom, Lashem, Hayom, Losim, Tzuhu, Basod. Because the word Hayom appears three times, you have to have three Sudas. So since it says Hayom, so the Shulchan Aruch says, if you eat all the three meals in the daytime, you're Yotze. If you have two meals at night and one meal in the daytime, you're not Yotze. Normally you have one at night and two in the daytime, or if you don't want to eat at night, have three meals in the daytime. So the Magen Avraham says, if the person is not in the mood to eat on Leil Shabbos, let him say Kiddush and have a little cake and go to, say a bracha achrona and go to sleep. Let him have all the three meals in the daytime. So Rav Soloveitchik thought not so. He thought that the minhag ha'olam to follow the Goyim on Shabbos morning is only Shabbos morning, Friday night not, because we don't really rely on the Goyim. It's only Betzir of Shitas Harayvit. The Gemara says you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush on Friday night. What about eating before Kiddush on Shabbos morning? So the Rambam says Kiddush Shabbos morning, same as Kiddush Friday night. You're not allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. And the Ravid on the Rambam, on the side of the Rambam, disagrees. And he says Friday night, you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush. You want to separate Achilah Shal Mitzvah from Achilah Shal Week Long, that's Achilah Shal Rishus. So you separate it by having Kiddush in the beginning, Havdalah at the end, and everything you eat in between is Achilah Shal Mitzvah, and everything you eat in the course of the week is Achilah Shal Rishus. But Shabbos morning, it already is Shabbos. So why should he say you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush? So the Rebbe thinks there's no problem. You're allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos morning. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that the minhag to make Kiddush and Shul and have cake, he never followed that. He always, when he would participate in Kiddush and Shul, he would insist on washing, Alecha Mishnah, and benching. But the minhag olam that the maker, like the goyim, he thought it's only on Shabbos morning, not like the Magen Avraham. Because on Shabbos morning, it's a tziruf hashitas. Maybe the Rebbe is right, you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. So whatever you have in Shul, you're eating before Kiddush. When you go home, you got to say Kiddush again. Rav Moshe did that also. When Rav Moshe Feinstein would participate in a Kiddush, so his family says he would go home. He didn't want to hurt the people's feelings, so he would participate in the Kiddush, have some cake. Then he went home and he would say Kiddush again. It's not a bracha levatala. He would say Kiddush again because maybe the goyim are not right. Maybe we weren't yet say Kiddush there. So Rav Soloveitchik thought they were only relying on the goyim Shabbos morning where you have a tziruf hashitas. Maybe the Ravid is right that you're allowed to eat before Kiddush, but on Friday night, but there's no Ravid to be Mizarev, just to rely on the Gan, and he thought that that's not right.
Is there a difference on Yom Tov? Like, Simchas Torah night, it's probably the only time you'd actually make Kiddush and Shul.
Yom Tov is the same thing. Yom Tov is the same thing. We mentioned, I think, before Sukkot that Reb Shlomo Kluger complains in one of his Chuvas in Ho'elef L'cho Shlomo, it's a collection of over 1,000 Chuvas. He complains that on Simchas Torah, when we're supposed to show kavod to the Torah, the people violate all the dinim that all year long they don't violate. So he says, number one, they sit and they're walking with the Sefer Torah. You're not supposed to sit, you're supposed to stand. Then he says, number two, in many shuls, they don't get the Davar Musa till after Shor Shvius. The Gemara says, Nikra Pasher. Then he says, number three, they forget that you have to make Kiddush. So they start nibbling food in shul without having made Kiddush. He said, that's not right. We're supposed to show
Kiddush, and you just have Mizonos.
Right, so that's Rav Soloveitchik. The Magen Avraham says that it's perfectly okay. We follow the Goyim. Rav Soloveitchik, though, we don't really follow the Goyim. We thought we only follow the Goyim, but Tziruf Deraivit, that's only on Shabbos and Yom Tov in the morning.
But besides for the problem of writing for Kiddush, what about the regular problem of not eating before davening in terms of like Yehora, it's like not something during the week you're not supposed to eat before davening, right?
Not supposed to eat a whole meal, yeah. Just to nibble a nash, that's permissible. Te'ima is mutta before you daven.
So like,
before Shachris, you're not allowed to have Te'ima either. Before Ma'ariv, there's a Machlokes Achrayinim.
That means for the Te'ima that you can't have before Shachris, according to the Ravid, at Shabbos morning, wouldn't that still be an issue, even besides the Kiddush before a Kiddush issue?
That'll be an issue to have a bite before Shachris.
Right.
But if you already did daven Shachris, just the question of eating before Kiddush, then the Ravid is Mekel.
I think the Ravid would agree before Shachris, you still can't.
Not allowed to, right. Except for Lubavitch, they always eat before Shachris. Okay, we'll continue next week.